All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos Los Angeles Chargers podcast. We said we were going to record a little early this week, and we are recording with about 9:20 in this Bucks-Cowboys game, which probably isn't the Cowboys are winning. But before we get to that, we have three rants. I have a rant on this game. Will has a rant on the Seahawks, and Brandon has a rant about his entire Sunday, because it was pretty rough. which we'll get to that, but Will, I'll start with you and where the Seahawks are placed now in the NFC West, and how you're feeling after another Geno Smith interception at the end of the game loss.
Yeah, well, right now it does feel great. Honestly, this is another home loss. It's pretty bad. We only have 3 wins this season at home, which is bad as well. We used to have great home field advantage a lot, and we just never have opportunity to capitalize on it. And it sucks. And, you know, we go out back to back, and it's not really looking great. I think we have a winnable game with the Bears, but honestly, anything can happen, and it's prime time, so we got to see how that goes. And so far, it's going to be something, because it could somehow even win and get these games. But we don't make the playoffs. It's going to be something, because we might have a above 500 record, but we're going to miss out the playoffs again. So that's going to be a likely chance. And that just shows you how stacked the NFC is. And man, it's just at this game. And it's like, basically, we started out slow like always, and then this time we actually came back and tied the game up. I honestly thought we were going to get blown out, but it was actually a very close game. And, you know, our defense, you know, couldn't really stop Justin Jefferson that much. That Byron Murphy face mask cost us yards for that one, and gave it up that touchdown as well. And we could have got a sack. Byron Murphy could have got his first sack of his career, but you know, the face mask done him in, and also there was, at the final minutes, there was the Abraham Lucas. He did a false start. He moved, and then Geno, you know, threw the pick. And you know, it's gonna be a long season. We likely are not gonna make the playoffs, and I just hope this off season we find a way and try to at least figure out our situation. Our defense is pretty good. We just got to extend. People need to extend, like Ernest Jones. And then also got to find out about the O-line, the problem to fix that, and also figure out about Geno, if we're going to keep Geno or we're going to possibly get rid of him or move him on somewhere. I'm not sure, but likely we're going to keep him. And, you know, it's been one of those games. 2 games that are versus like competitive teams, and it's really, really not going to be a good sign, because if we do somehow make the playoffs, we're going to be obviously a first round bye,
like a first round exit. You mean
an exit? Yeah. I mean, yeah, first yeah. round exit. I mean, and we're going to basically be where we at last time when we even made the playoffs, is that we lost in the first round, so. Honestly, it's going to be a big ordeal if we win or lose. It's going to be a lose-lose situation, honestly. And I just hope next season we figure it out. This season was a mixed bag, like almost every season. And we try to improve again. So I know it's basically like the Eagles somewhat, but I know, Brandon, I know you got with your Eagles. I know you got a lot of things to say about them.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's tough, you know, like, it's not the worst thing in the world. I did say we all, you know, I didn't think we were going to lose to Washington, but I did say, you know, before the game even started, I said we always split with Washington. That always seems to be what happens. And of course it happened, but it's not the worst thing in the world. You know, it got to see if Jalen Hurts plays next week. But either way, between Dallas or the Giants, both those games are in Philly. We're going to, regardless, I always knew for the last, 2 weeks, I was like, yeah, we're going to end up with the 2 seed. So I was like, I fully expect to end up with the 2 seed. At this point, nobody can catch us. So, because we're like, we're like three games or two games ahead of the third seed in terms of, you know, division records and stuff. So second, you know, second best division record in the NFC. I'm fine with that. I always kind of knew the two seed was coming.
But Brandon, to lose it, twice in that fashion, I mean, yeah, Kenny Pickett, like, that's pretty bad. And you've talked about your their third stringer, yeah, you can get to, but to lose in that kind of fashion twice in a season with drop passes and against a division rival that I know you've been heavily focused on, obviously, with where the ramifications of division looks like. And then, yeah, obviously the Panthers lost. What was that last week? That's our win, but, you know, felt like a loss to a degree.
Yeah,
it's not feeling, but
it doesn't,
good.
It doesn't concern me overall, because I mean, the I don't blame the defense. We can say, oh yeah, the defense gave up 33. Well, here's the problem, or 36. Here's the problem with the defense. They were tired because Kenny Pickett didn't move the ball at all in the second half. They didn't move the ball at all. The offense was three and out every drive, except for a couple when we got turnovers at like midfield or the 40-yard line or something like that. So they still forced five. The defense is still number one in football. They forced five turnovers today. They still lost. They're the second team this year to lose a game forcing five turnovers. But it's mostly because of injuries and just because of a lot of just, you know, simple mistakes. It's not because they had a fully healthy squad and they made 10,000 errors. The only real mistake was Devontae Smith, the drop ball. Certain penalties you got to clean up. But I can live with those penalties when you're playing good football, which they were for three quarters of that game. So I don't look at it as the worst thing in the world, because a division game is always tough. And here's the thing. You're on the road against Washington. We always split with them. But I guarantee you, and I don't make a lot of guarantees, but I guarantee you, if they win the wild card and they're the ones ending up coming to Philly for the wild card game, I guarantee we're smoking them. Smoking them. Because Jalen Hurts fully healthy. Philly, home game, in probably colder weather than what they were in today. I don't think there's any chance Washington survives a game like that. So, Washington fans can act like they won the Super Bowl. Congratulations. You beat a backup quarterback who couldn't throw more than 5 yards today. You know, congrats. You know, you barely won the game on a last-second touchdown. So, you shouldn't feel too good about it. You know, I don't puff my chest out when I'm, you know, beating Bryce Young barely. So, you shouldn't puff your chest out when you're beating Kenny Pickett. Because until Kenny Pickett came in, the Eagles were on pace to blow them out the water. Blow them completely out of the water. Jalen Hurts got them to the red zone. They were already up 7-0. Kenny Pickett helped finish that drive off. But that drive is going to probably end 14-0 regardless, at least 10-0. So to me, if Jalen Hurts finishes that game, we're not even having the story. They're hanging 50 on him, and we're walking out of their NFC East champions. We're still going to...
Let me ask you this too, right? So that piece, but then you're looking toward next week, you could see Tanner McKee, your boy Tanner McKee, getting the start, because both Hurts and Pickett are both, you know, dealing with injuries at the moment.
That's fine by me, because I like Tanner McKee better. I've liked Tanner McKee since last season when he was backing up Mariota as the third string. Tanner McKee is the second best quarterback on this Eagles roster for the past 2 years. And the fact that he's remained, especially that he ran circles around Kenny Pickett in the preseason. So I don't understand why he was back. He's the emergency third quarterback. That doesn't make sense to me. Tanner McKee is a far better quarterback in his sleep than Kenny Pickett could ever be. So here's the thing. As much as Kenny Pickett wasn't great today, I give him credit though, because he made the game winning throw. Devontae Smith just dropped it. It's an easy drop. Just make the damn play. He's like, that's what I don't get in that situation. And here, and I'm going to harp on Devontae Smith for a second, because I love Devontae Smith. You are paid, I believe he's paid $20 million a year. You are a very high paid, you know, wide receiver too. Part of one of the best duels in football. You, that's who you are. That's what you do. Why are you looking to run before you catch the ball? You were already past the first down marker when the ball was in your hands. Just catch, secure the catch, look it in, and fall down. Game's over. Just possession, catch it, fall down, game over. While you're looking to run with the ball, and the ball's not even there yet, is ridiculous. Just catch the damn ball. And he even said after the game, I got to catch it. You're damn right. You're lucky that that game didn't cost us the division. You're lucky that we still have two more chances to win the division, which we ultimately, I think we will. I still think it's over. But we're still going to end up with a two seed. No, we just win one of the final two games and you end up with a two seed. So I'm just pissed that the one thing that the Eagles struggled with last year, and it's the same thing this year, is that when they need it for some reason, it's hard for them to get it done. They're like, they can get it. A lot of times, you know, today was another example of just like the concentration with this team is never there. If that's the Detroit Lions, that's not a drop. If that's the Vikings, that's not a drop. Like, the only team that has constant concentration errors is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I hate that. You are too talented to be having brain farts on the field. And it's like, I can excuse it because it's just one bad loss. You won 10 straight. I mean, you know, and you know what, too? You know what they say? It's better to kind of snap the win streak now than to have it to be like, oh, yeah, with every week. They won 11 straight and 12 straight. You get to the playoffs. Oh, you win 13 straight. All of a sudden, the pressure builds because you haven't lost. You don't know what the feeling of losing is like. So I'm kind of okay with the way they lost, and given the fact that they still did a good job with you know, a good enough job to win this game, so that it came down to one drop ball, just like it did against Atlanta. So, you know, I don't blame the defense. Defense was hurt. You know, CJ Gardner-Johnson, he's got to keep. I know it's CJ Gardner-Johnson said it wasn't his fault, and part of me agrees because he didn't really say anything bad to get two on. He didn't do anything bad to get two on sportsmanlike penalty calls when Washington started both of them. I know they always get the second guy, but CJ Gardner-Johnson got punched in the face right in front of the referee, and all he did was shove him back. How is he the only one getting an unsportsmanlike conduct call when the ref is right there looking at him fight?
It's because he stared at the ref like very menacingly, and the ref reacted to it. It's really stupid, but as I always say, and this is something that the refs get very offended by the second guy, never the first guy, even if someone's staring at him.
Yeah, I know that.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, it's just like, but it's like, that's such a weak flag. Like, another thing that pissed you off was a lot, like, listen, both sides were getting some calls tonight, and that's a fact. That, you know, that's true. Both sides were getting, well, not tonight, today. Both sides were getting calls today. But here's the problem. And one thing I missed, because it took a touchdown off the board. We ended up with a field goal on that drive. A.J. Brown got held in the end zone. I mean, listen, I know that they don't want to call, you know, three straight flags on Marshon Lattimore, but A.J. Brown was held in the end zone, held back. It was P.I. He was held back. And on top of that, not only was he held back, but he got hit in the head on the play. There should have been two flags on the defense, and there wasn't a single flag thrown. Happened right in front of the back judge. So you throw that flag there, Eagles score a touchdown, then the game is over. Because then that's you add those extra points on the end of the game, so it's just little things. It's little things I don't like the referees missing when they're obvious. When it's something obvious that I can see immediately on my TV. And a ref is supposed to be, like I've been saying all year, when a ref is trained to see this stuff and they don't see it, it pisses me off. Because you are paid. You're not paid well enough, but they are paid to see this. This is your job. You're an official in the NFL. The fact that you don't see obvious calls is annoying. So, but I digress. You were one drop away from winning the game. I'm not concerned. You have two home games in Philly to get it done. You have Saquon Barkley. You already admitted that you made a lot of mistakes today. They took accountability for it in the post game. They all said, listen, that we just didn't play well enough today. We didn't play up to our standard. That's fine. I like that. Now go and show it next week. Go and do something about it next week. You are at home. You're wearing the Kelly Greens, which so far you're undefeated in them. You're 3-0 in the Kelly Greens. Or I think Kelly Greens are maybe wearing black. I forget which one we're wearing next week. But they're still fine. They're still gonna end up with a two seed. We're still gonna end up with two home playoff games. Granted, you win the wild card game, so you're still gonna have two home playoff games. So the world's not ending. Last year, at this time when we lost a game like this, the world was ending. Not this time. We'll be fine.
You have more ref stuff, and it's basketball. You went to the Seton Hall game instead of fully watching this torturous Bucks Cowboys game. Go ahead on that.
Oh, when I tell you, because thank God I kind of ended it talking about the refs a little bit, because getting into the refs with this game, once again, Big East basketball is the most physical basketball in the country. Big East basketball made its name off of physicality. Big East basketball is always a nail biter, grinder type of style of basketball. That's always what it's been. That's always what it will be. The fact that these referees called a foul on every single possession, even if there wasn't one. Like, the worst part was Seton Hall loses this game by one, right? Here's the issue I have.
Wait, it was 61-60. Nobody scored.
Yeah. And here's the problem. Because they just kept committing fouls, and then, you know, the free throws were inconsistent. So it was just a foul fest. Because in the second half of the game, there was like 21 combined fouls. So it was just a foul fest. But the problem was, I took offense to, and then listen, it's not just me being a fan of the team. It's just me knowing basketball. I took offense to some of the fouls they called on Seton Hall's defensive stops down the court. Because there were times Seton Hall played great defense through an entire shot clock. They would drive to the there was one play where a guy literally stumbled forward because he tripped on his drive by himself. No one tripped him. Tripped on his drive, stumbled forward, and dove into a Seton Hall defender. And mind you, you know basketball. When you go straight up, that's not a foul. Going straight up to block a shot is not a foul. Call the foul. Then another two possessions later, they come down the court again. They call like, you know, they're calling like a blocking foul, or they called like one of them was like a shooting foul. And I'm like, if it's a blocked shot, it's not a shooting foul. He's not getting him on the arm. He gets the ball first. The follow through doesn't matter if you get the ball first. So it doesn't make sense how they refereed this game. I think the worst part was Seton Hall had the same thing happen to them on the opposite end of the court, and the refs wouldn't blow the whistle. And I'm like, you can't call it one way. Like, both team sides were getting calls, but Georgetown was getting the calls at the most timely points that weren't calls, that should not have been called. And that pissed me off, because you ruined momentum for a team that was coming back, fighting back in this game, and deserved to be. And It sucks. You know, Seton Hall still didn't shoot well. So it's another thing, just like today, when I was pissed off about the referees, you know, not doing, enough today, you know, to really call the game correctly. But, you know, missed calls are part of the game. So just like the Eagles didn't do enough, Seton Hall didn't do enough. But I don't want to sit there and say that my team didn't do enough when I can also spot bad refereeing from a mile away. And I've spotted it for years in every sport. I won't stop. That's why every time I tweet, I'm always adding the NFL officiating, or I'm adding, you know, the college football officiating or college basketball officiating or whatever team I root for. I will always tag the officiating, because I'm like, you guys suck and you need to fix this, because quite frankly, this is utter bullcrap every week. Every week it's the same story.
It's bad. I want to call, you know how we're talking about the college football playoff committee, and we'll get to the college football playoff later. I would like to call an NFL committee and an NFL playoff committee. Can I call both committees to the floor? I would like to eliminate.
Yes.
There you go, Shane. I would like to eliminate two divisions from the National Football League. Get the fuck out of here. AFC South. Get out of here. I'm done with you. Get the hell out of my TV screen. Houston, that was horrible. CJ Stroud was terrible on Saturday. It was bad. Hope Tank Dell gets better. That was awful. The Colts and Titans game was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Okay? It was 38-7 in the third quarter. 38-7 in the third quarter. And it finished 38-30. Colts beating the Titans. What the hell? Well, what are we doing? What kind of trash football is that? Let's see. And Jags, you suck. Get out of my TV screen. Next.
Not wrong.
Next, I would like to eliminate. Let's see. I would like to eliminate the NFC South. Tampa Bay, I was on your side 3 weeks ago. I'm not anymore. You're about to lose to the Cowboys. Yeah, you're about to lose to the Cowboys. You suck. Look, if I get it, I get the receiving problem. If this team was fully healthy with receivers, they would win this division by a mile. I get it. But the fact that they, you know, all they can do is run the ball with Bucky Irving and throw the ball deep every time, I can't do it anymore. I'm out. Atlanta,
they're still too talented. I mean, cut you off, Rob. But Tampa Bay is still too talented to play the way they are.
Oh, period. Yes. Atlanta, we really potentially have to see Michael Penix Jr. have a fourth NFL start in a playoff game. Please, God, no. God, no. Heavenly God, please, no. New Orleans, have fun on Christmas Eve. And Carolina, guess what, NFL? Carolina is not a D3 college team. They're an actual competitive football team, and every team is mad that they're losing to them for some reason, but they're clearly not the worst team in football right now. I also want to call this to attention. Guess the line for Saints Packers tomorrow night.
Packers -9.
It should be.
Yeah, Packers -10.
I'm gonna go a little less because I think Vegas is stupid. So I'm gonna say Packers Packers -5.5.
Packers -14. I rest my case.
Oh my god!
Dang, that was 4 off.
God. Oh my god.
Okay, and this also calls to effect the NFL playoff committee. Rams, you're in the playoffs. Seahawks, you're in the playoffs. I don't want to watch any of these NFC South teams in the playoffs. The NFC West is so much more interesting. Bro, they're so much more interesting. Their teams are so much more fascinating. Why are we doing this? As much as I like the seventh seed, most of the time the seventh seeds are pretty blah. And for the NFC, that's the case. Welcome in, Shane.
Okay. This is the first thing I'm going to say.
Yes, go ahead.
And I was thinking about this today as I was watching Seattle versus Minnesota. And I also had this thought when I was watching Seattle versus Green Bay last week. So let's say, hypothetically, Seattle wins the NFC West. I don't think that's going to happen at this point, but let's say that is what happens. So they would be, I guess, the third seed, maybe. Probably the third. But then Minnesota and Green Bay, these two teams.
Oh, that's right. They wouldn't be the actual seventh seed. Oh, damn it.
So the Seahawks would be the three seed, but then these two teams who beat them both at home, one of them kicked the shit out of them, they would both, they would have to be the 5 and 6 seeds, while a significantly worse Seattle team gets to be the third seed because they're the division winner. I think, and I've been saying this off and on, but I was thinking about it today. I was like, I think the NFL playoffs should be like NBA. Okay. 8 seeds in each conference, just straight through 1 through 8. And however, I do like for NFL. But for NFL, I would have 8 teams in each conference. But the one thing I would keep is how in the divisional round, it's like the lowest seed.
The lowest seed plays the higher seed. Plays every week. Yeah.
Right. I would do that. But in terms of actually seeding it, I wouldn't go, okay, well, this guy's the division winner. So right now, I would, instead of the Vikings being the fifth seed, they'd be, you know, the second or third or whatever.
They would be competing. How about this? They would be competing with the Eagles for the two seed right now, and we would have a discussion about that this week.
Right. Or, I mean, hell, even competing with Detroit for the one. Like, you know, so.
Yeah.
So, and then. Yeah, and then Green Bay would be like the four, not the six. And then, you know, oh, the NFC South, they have to send a team that's 8-9. Too bad. Sorry. If you guys suck, you don't get to send a team to the playoffs. Sorry.
Also, by the way, I forgot to mention this, which is going to continue on kind of with your point or kind of include it, Shane. I think it's really weird that in the NFL, and we all know this, right, with the NFL draft, how a lot of times teams are thinking about their division with the players that they're drafting. So why is it that some of these divisions are just so mid? It's like, dude, we need to have one
team.
We need to have one team in every division that can at least smack the rest of them. But no. Like, okay. Like, I'm gonna give the NFC West a pass in this conversation because I think the NFC West is still interesting, and I think the teams at the top are still fairly good. Will, you're not happy with that.
I don't know.
Here's the current ranking of the NFC in terms of playoff seeds: Detroit 1, Philly 2. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Rams 3. No. Bucks 4.
No.
Big no. Minnesota 5.
Actually,
even though they won.
Actually, it would be Falcons at the moment because the Falcons are. Yeah, it would be the Falcons at the moment, I think. Anyway, continue.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
We're thinking about still, the fact that the Cowboys are going to win this game as of now.
Yeah, I mean, they're both 8-7, so they're still just incredibly mediocre. And then Minnesota 5, Green Bay 6, and Washington 7. Now, wouldn't it be way more interesting if, just looking at this right now, it'd be Detroit 1, Minnesota 2, because, you know, they're 13-2. That's usually like, you know, a top seed, not a fifth seed. You know, Detroit, Minnesota, Philly, and then it would be. Hold on. Then it would be
quick update.
Green Bay.
Game's not over.
Tampa just scored.
Tampa just scored.
Game's not over.
Strike my last point, but continue, Shane.
Anyways, so then it would be Green Bay 4 instead of 6, Washington 5 instead of 7, and then Rams 6 as opposed to 3, and then 7, depending on what happens with this game, would either be Tampa or Seattle, and then Atlanta. So,
Speaking
that's of much more interesting.
It's a lot more interesting, especially at the top end. Shane, what were your thoughts on Seattle's heartbreaking loss today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had a few thoughts. I mean, for starters, it's, you know, this is a, I mean, quite simply, this, you know, this is a, this is one team that is much more buttoned up and ready to go versus another team that's very sloppy, undisciplined, and, you know, that's, the effects of that were on full display. You have one of the best offensive play callers and arguably the best defensive coordinator on one side, and then an entire rookie staff on the other. You know, it's just a lot of that. And and you know, the fact that it was as close as it was, I think, to me, says a lot about both teams, really. But I gotta be honest, and you know, I've been saying this for a while now. I mean, Minnesota, you know, they're 13-2, but I don't think they're an amazing 13-2. You know, there are, I mean, they have, I guess, they're tied for the second best record in the league. But I would say that there are probably 5-6 teams that are better than them, in my opinion. And, you know, a game like this just kind of shows you why. Like, Green Bay, who is much more inexperienced than Minnesota, just crushed Seattle. And here you can barely win the game. You know, it's just something to think about. Yeah, you know, it's just, I mean, people seem shocked. It's like, well, you know, Seattle's had a terrible offensive line all year, and as a result leads to bad quarterback play. And guess what? That's what happened again today. you know, it's, yeah, I don't think much is going to happen with this team until they can actually like get a serious offensive line together. Yep. And, yeah, because, and yeah, I mean, a quarterback upgrade would be nice, but, you know, I don't think that's the biggest problem that they have at the moment, because we've seen what Geno can do when he has even some protection. Not that he's ever played behind a great offensive line, but not this bad. So, yeah. In other words, I think, yeah, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. I think it, you know, more than likely he'll probably be the starter again next year. So, you know, if we can try and build up the offensive line a little bit, that's going to be your best bet, as opposed to just, you know, sitting here going, well, I guess we're just going to fail. Like, you know, let's get something going here, but yeah, we'll see.
Who wants to talk even more about failure, but in a much worse degree?
Who?
I feel like all I do is talk about failure. So,
this pertains to your area, Brandon. Can you guys get, so in the entire calendar year, including the preseason, guess which weeks the Giants have won a football game?
Oh my God! Why you gotta remind me of that? I know they beat Cleveland.
Yes, I'm asking which week it was. So yeah,
they beat right Seattle about, like week I'm six beat or Seattle. Something.
I don't remember that one.
that was
in
their,
Seattle. God,
that was their last win. It was week 5, 29-20 over the Seahawks in Seattle. You're right about that Cleveland, but what week was that?
Was that week
2?
2?
3, close.
Week 3?
No, oh my God.
They won a it was week 3. They won a game week in the three. They won a game in the preseason, and you'll be shocked who they beat, because I think it's funny. I mean, it's the preseason, who cares? Guess which week it was in the preseason.
Week 2.
Yeah, I wanted to say 2, but
It was week 1, close, and guess what team they beat, which is kind of funny.
Was it the Jets?
No.
Who the hell are they playing? I mean, I don't care about Giants preseason at all.
and by the way, the Browns game was 21-15. They only won 21-15 on that one.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. What are they playing? Like the Ravens?
It's not.
Are you guys ready? I'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. It's
the yeah, I know.
It was the Lions in Detroit. Oh, 14-3. 14-3. Yeah. So their 3 wins, including the preseason and the calendar year, was Detroit was Detroit, the Browns, and Seattle. And they were all in week, and they finished winning in week five. They've lost ever since.
And all on the road, too, right?
Oh my goodness, the Buccaneers might not lose.
They actually might win. Yeah, all those wins minus that week one preseason game, which who cares, we're on the road.
That's funny.
Oh my god. And here's why I bring this up. If which I kind of want this to happen, I'm not going to lie. If the Giants lose against the Colts next week and, Brandon, your Philadelphia Eagles, if they lose both of those games, they clinch the one seed. Or they clinched the first overall pick.
Oh god.
Brandon, I want to give out an award already for the postseason. Let's give it out right now. Pot Cookies Game of the Year. We're giving it to an actual football team. The New York Jets. Some of the worst games we've ever seen.
That was a fumble. Wait a minute. That was a fumble?
I'm watching it right now. Let's see.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Holy hell, bro.
Right at the end of the game, the Bucks fumble to lose it here with about a minute 30 left.
Let me see the replay.
Remember when Seattle used to be like the most feared place to play in the NFL?
Not anymore.
And now it's like Kansas City or something. Yeah.
Now it's like loudest on, you know, third down when Seattle has the ball. I'm like, what?
Oh yeah, he just ripped off topic. It out. No, it's fine. We're watching the other game. Yeah, that's a fumble. Cowboys win. Jesus Christ, Tampa Bay. Brandon, we're giving the Pot Cookies Game of the Year not to a game, but to the New York Jets. Because
these games are
atrocious. Can you want to elaborate on that? Because they even had that horrible game against the Rams today. It's your award, so you want to elaborate on that?
I mean, how can you not give it to, I mean, you could basically give it to just my entire area of our country here. You could literally give it to the Giants and Jets combined.
We're just gonna give it to New York, New Jersey. There you go.
We're just gonna give it to MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, that's it.
Because MetLife Stadium gets the award.
Because to have two teams in your building be so awful for the entire season, just like they were last year. But my God, the Jets. At least the Jets looked somewhat competent at times last year. This team is so awful. And then the Giants, Tim, and the Giants, I don't expect much, but it's like, I love how Giants fans, a lot of them flex like, oh, we got two Super Bowls in my lifetime. It's like, yeah, you've been a garbage football team the last decade. Doesn't matter anymore. Jets have been garbage for not just my life, not just our parents' lives, basically since our grandparents.
Probably the Jets have been awful, to be honest.
So, yeah. So, you know.
They haven't been good since they won the Super Bowl in 1969 or whenever that was.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, don't name it.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the next time that the Giants or Jets even make a deep playoff run, like, because they could make the playoffs any year, doesn't, you know, it's football, but
we'll probably be dead.
Yeah, like the next time they make a deep playoff run, forget winning a Super Bowl or even making one. By the time they just make a deep playoff run, we'll be by the time that both those teams make a deep playoff run, we'll be dead.
Yep.
So, like, I know Giants fans don't want to hear that, but that's the truth, man. Like, you guys can't develop players for stuff. Your ownership sucks. Your GM sucks, and your coaching is not. It's not bad, but it's not certainly not what it needs to be. So when you don't have anything to work with, I don't care who you draft. You can draft the second coming of Tom Brady. Your team will still be garbage. So it's just I just want to give that award to literally
MetLife Stadium.
I just want to give it to MetLife Stadium because two teams that literally are in the same stadium that They can't sell out their games. They can't. Nobody knows. Like, literally, how many times in the past 10 years have, like, for both teams, like, really since the Giants last Super Bowl, how many times last 10 years have we said for both teams that the season's over in week four?
Or earlier. Season's week over. Two. Screw it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, week two, every preseason. Jesus Christ. I'm saying week four. That's basically what it is. Like, it's we're going when you go on a dead, because it's one thing to win a Super Bowl and then like for the Giants case and have a decade long drought, but at least you're still making the playoffs. But the Giants have a decade long drought and they've sucked for all of it.
But it's not as bad as the Jets. They've never won in our lives.
Yeah, and then the Giants. It's like, I don't know, Giants and the Jets. It's like, yeah, I can't. If I was a Jets fan, man, I would stop watching football. I would just completely give up. I'd find another sport to watch. I'd watch arena football. I'd watch college football. I would watch a women's lingerie football that they have. There's no reason to watch Jets football at all for the rest of your life. And you know they're never going to win anything ever again. Like, oh my God. You'll be dead. Your kids will be dead. Their kids will be dead. And the cycle continues. Yeah, because when you just – but what's the common theme with both teams? Bad ownership, bad GMs, bad talent evaluation, bad player development.
Can I take it a step further? One of them has an owner that listens to their child more than their GM and doesn't trade for a player because of Madden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any business – not just, you know, the NFL, but even like a small mom and pop shop. It starts from the top down. Like, it's not, if you have bad ownership, leadership, management, you're going to fail. I mean, it doesn't matter how good your product is, how desirable you are, how many followers you have. It's like, if you don't have the right people in charge, well, you know, pack your shit and move on. Like, it's not gonna work. So, you know, I mean, you look at every team in the NFL that's, you know, perpetually bad year after year after year. It's terrible owners. But then the teams that have these really smart owners that are, you know, very logical, very, you know, they're franchises are doing pretty good.
Or they just stay off it. Like Bruce Arians said to Scoop City earlier this year, like the best, he literally said verbatim, the best owners I've ever been around, I never see. Just let me do my job.
Yeah, I mean, so like to that point, I mean, you know, who are the owners we always hear about? Woody Johnson,
Jerry Jones,
exactly. John Merritt, yeah, Haslam's, you know who we never hear about? Stan Kroenke, you know, Paul Allen back in the day, you never hear anything about the good ones because
they're good.
They're not out there running their mouth and. They just handle things internally and
pause. Jerry Jones is about to do another press conference again.
Even though his team is knocked out, you know what's funny? You know what the best part about today? There's still a silver lining in the Eagles' loss. It knocked the Cowboys out of the playoffs and the Niners officially.
Oh, Jesus.
So, that was great.
And guess what? NBC still decided to put the Cowboys on national TV because I bet you the ratings were like 40 million people.
Yeah.
The Rams. Oh my lord, the Rams, man.
It's so funny watching the Cowboys knowing that your team was basically cooked since like week six. It's so funny that every week they mess up their draft pick. Every week you're saving Mike McCarthy from being on the hot seat because Cooper Rush is overplaying expectations and you're still eliminated from the playoffs.
I, so I that, I that's hilarious. I don't understand why McCarthy would come back.
I don't either. But Jerry Jones will look at this and be like, "Oh my God, look at what he's doing with Cooper Rush."
Yeah.
How about the Cowboys? Yeah, get out of here.
The Rams are obviously still in a playoff spot. Will, I get you started on this? They're having some sloppy games, Will, and it's concerning.
Yeah. Well, usually with the Rams, there always has been a bit inconsistent with how they play, especially with Matthew Stafford. Like, their best game overall was obviously versus the Bills, where Josh Allen had to play hero, and then, you know, it was a bit too late for them to really get to win the game, and then, you know, they lost by about 2 points. So, honestly, it was basically like that, and then, you know, the rest of the two games has been very boring, like versus the Niners. People were talking about Devondre Campbell leaving and being a scumbag for him leaving instead of the Rams winning. That's how bad the game was. And then there was then you got this game with the Jets, and it was bad. It was, there was not a lot of scoring. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he didn't do much. He probably that one alone touchdown. That was about it. Besides that, it was like hard to really say like what has the just done that was good, and the Rams were struggling too, and Stafford was throwing picks or throw a pick, and honestly, it was one of those type of games that you gotta know like, okay, basically these Rams are basically, we thought, even I remember when the media was hyping them up like, oh, they're, I think it was one guy. Oh yeah, Dan Orlovsky, that guy said like, "Oh, the Rams are gonna be one of those teams that you don't want to mess with in the playoffs." I'm like, "Well, looking at this team, actually, I want to mess with the Rams 10 times over. Like that's what the type of team they are right now. They're a team that looks like they're inconsistent. They're not really a team to be feared, and because it all follows Matthew Stafford. Because at times it looks like he can play. At other times, he looks like I don't know what he's doing. And most of the time, so honestly, with the Rams, it's usually they're not that dangerous. Honestly, I won't be surprised if it really comes down to the Rams and Seahawks possibly for a playoff spot if the Rams lose another game, and if it comes down to them, it's going to be hard to see, because honestly, the Seahawks do way better, honestly, on the road than at home. So they're going to be on the road next time. So that could be a likely game the Seahawks might win. So honestly, with these Rams, it's hard to really, like, critique and judge and give, like, the synopsis on them, because it's, like, it's hard to really judge them on how good they are, because at times we think they're good, but then they start playing poorly. So it's hard to really to figure out what the Rams are, but at times I feel like the Rams are a team that's, you know, sort of a dark horse, but at times they're mostly a team that's like, I don't know, basically first round bye. And I just feel like they're mostly like a first round exit. I keep on messing it up. But first round exit, I feel like what the Rams are.
We talked about Thursday night with the Seahawks and the Bears. Cardinals Rams on Saturday night on NFL Network. That's a big one in LA. Brandon, continue on. Yep. Your thoughts on the Rams' inconsistency this season?
The Rams to me have always been, I look at them and I look at like just, I mean, a lot of teams go through this too, but the Rams especially, there's too much talent there to play down to competition, to struggle the way they have. But I mean, not for nothing, like we look at guys like Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's made his career out of being just a gunslinger, out of being a guy that's just, for you know, for better or for worse, is gonna win and lose a lot of games with his arm, but also he's going to, I mean, that's like he's also going to just be, at this point in his career, also just a statue in the pocket. He can move a little bit, but he's a statue. Kyron Williams, you know, has some inconsistencies hanging on to the football. He's still a good running back. He's not elite, but he's still good. It's you know, that their biggest threats really is their interior defensive line and their wide receivers. So, you know, they're still good enough that when those guys are on, they can hang, you know, 30 on a team when those guys are red hot. It's just that their defensive backs aren't good. You know, and every week you just, they feel like a roller coaster ride. Like during the season, it was injuries, but since those guys have been back, it still does. I mean, it feels better than what it was when they were injured, obviously, but it's still just a roller coaster ride watching this team. You know, they could, it's funny, like a lot of weeks, it's like, you know, they go from, it's like, I don't get how they operate. I mean, like they can score 30, but then they also win a lot of ugly games. Like, you know, they lose, like look at the last really month and a half, right? Lost to Miami, you only scored 15 points. Beat the Patriots, scored 28, but you looked like crap at the end. You almost let the Patriots win. Philly blows you out by 17. You only scored 20 in that game. You barely beat New Orleans, a bad New Orleans team. You barely beat them. Buffalo, you went toe-to-toe in a shootout. You beat them. But you barely beat San Fran last week. And they were the far healthier team than San Fran, but you barely beat them. You only scored 12 points. This week, you only scored 19 against a bad Jets team. And the last, you know, really the last four-ish weeks, Matt Stafford, I mean, you know, outside the Buffalo game, but the last, three out of the last 4 weeks, he hasn't looked good at all. You know, he's got 100, today he had 110 passing yards, and his leading receiver was Nacua. Nacua basically had half of them. He had 56 yards. Williams did most of the damage, 122 rushing, but it's like this team, I don't think can win with a balanced offense because Kyren Williams is not a workhorse type of running back. They kind of have to make Matt Stafford. Like, they're the one team where it's like, oh yeah, you know, you always say when you make a team throw too much, you know, you have a better chance of winning the game. But it feels like with the Rams, they're better when they throw the ball more. I don't know what it is. They're just better when they don't need to lean on the running game as much. Especially lately that's been the case. They've, you know, in the games where Kyren Williams has gone over, you know, 100 yards, the teams look terrible. So really your best bet is to just have Stafford throw for, you know, about 300 or try to do close to that every week in order to win, because you have two talented receivers who you should be using more. Like, you know, Puka Nacua was your leading receiver. He only had 56. It's a crime for Puka Nacua. I mean, now here's the thing. The Jets, I believe, coming into this game, were giving up the fewest points, I think, to receivers all season. But you're still too talented to only, you know, drop 19 on the Jets. And, like, it's the Rams worry me because even if they win that division and they end up being the 3 or 4 seed, honestly, I think a wild card team is beating them and beating them bad. So I think the Rams are one and done. Yeah, I think Green Bay would smoke them. So especially because, I mean, Green Bay, for some reason, feels like this year they can't go in outdoors where they should be okay at outdoor games. But it feels like they can't go outdoors and play. That's just what it feels like.
And it was sunny in Jersey this morning.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like today, the, you know, it was cold out, but the weather wasn't that bad to where the Rams should have, you know, struggled like that. But I'm just not sold on them. Like, they're a good team, but this is kind of what I thought they would be, like a 10 win team. Yeah. Basically going into the playoffs, you know, but I figured they would be, you know, that's kind of where we all kind of thought they would be, you know, between 9 and 10 wins. So, you know, we basically hit the nail on the head at that one, but it's just that they're not good enough. Like they have a lot of talent, but the talent is just not consistent. Like, it's good talent, but it's not consistent enough talent to win you, to get you deep in the playoffs and win games. It's and get to the Super Bowl. It's not. It's just not.
It's kind of like, you know how cities, or not cities. Well, yeah, we talk about sometimes how NFL teams take on the identity of their city. And you know, the Rams definitely feel like that. You know, they've got a lot of talent, a lot of stars, and, you know, they've got this great passing game and everything's humming. It's real flashy, you know, sports cars, gorgeous people. I mean, if you've been to LA, you know, the people there just look incredible. But it's also kind of like a shit show down there. There's very much like a, you know, kind of a chill vibe to it, especially by the beach, you know, but then there's also like that insane hustle and grind that goes on down there. Cause it's, you know, a lot of entertainment industry is very competitive, you know? So as a result, it's just like a disaster. that's kind of how I feel, you know, about the Rams. It's like, yeah, they, you know, they're flashy. They got this big armed quarterback and these hot rod receivers, but then it's like, well, you know, but there's the other side of it where it's just kind of a mess. And you know, same thing with the Chargers, being, you know, they're very, cause the Chargers where they practice, it's closer to the beach where it's a little more like laid back. And you can kind of see that, like, Harbaugh now, he seems like an entirely different person. He's just, like, super chill. Like, yeah, it's good to be a Charger. Yeah, all right, you know. but anyway, so that's what I notice with the Rams. Yeah, anyway.
We got started on the Chargers. Let's go back to Thursday with Chargers-Broncos. We'll get us started with how you thought the Chargers performed in that game there.
So, Chargers of Broncos. That game was a game that honestly was a thing that I remember, and I remember me and Brandon was talking about it. It was a game that basically the Chargers or the Broncos basically gave up. They had something. They were in charge. They were offense was doing their thing. Defense was dominating, and. And honestly, I think it all started when they gave up that free kick play, when there was not much discipline, especially when not running the clock out, and especially of roughing the kicker or the returner. I mean, and they was able to get a free kick out of it. And then since then, it went very downhill for the Broncos. Like, there's been the play action by Sean Payton was pedestrian. It was god awful. Like the Chargers were basically looking like a well-oiled unit out there, but in reality, I think we know in reality that the Chargers aren't a type of team that's, you know, going to really be dangerous offensively because their receiver core is pretty mid outside of Ladd McConkley, and honestly, they looked but that night they looked pretty well organized and well unit. Basically the Broncos defense looked like frauds out there, mostly outside of Patrick Surtain. And man, and honestly, it was a pretty bad showing for the Broncos because of the tail of two halves. And man, honestly, the Broncos, they're a type of team that are just like sort of like a Rams. Like, they're a team that nobody's gonna be afraid of come playoff time, and they're going to be an easy first round exit. So, man, they got to get it together. But honestly, I just don't really feel that much about the Broncos, and I don't really have no hope for them in the playoff. But honestly, but the good news is that basically the Broncos shown that they are a team that, or Sean Payton, that he still got it somewhat, and Bo Nix is going to be their future. So that's really the plus side. But man, that game was pretty horrendous on the Broncos end because of basically how undisciplined they were. And the play calling was, like I said before, atrocious and not well designed well.
I know this game frustrated you, Brandon, but before we go to that, you were talking about Mike McCarthy. Report from John Machado of The Athletic, who covers the Cowboys. Here's his report from the interview or from the post-game presser that Jerry Jones just had. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones with a lot of praise for Mike McCarthy after tonight's win. He's gone out of his way to credit the Cowboys head coach while answering multiple questions. So he's very clearly happy with McCarthy at this point. But you can go on that and also your frustrations.
Yeah, they're hot tub buddies.
Yeah, the hot tub buddies. You can go on that a little bit and also talk about your frustrations with Broncos Chargers as a whole.
Yeah. I'll say the Broncos Chargers for last, because I'll just hit on Mike McCarthy real quick. I don't know how you can be happy with your head coach that historically has been 12-5 for you, like, every season. Or, you know, 12-6, 13-5, things like that. Like, you know, been in multiple playoff games, and now this season they've been eliminated from the playoffs. They're not even going to hit, I don't think, yeah, they're not going to hit double-digit wins this year. I don't know how you can be happy about that. I really don't. You're going to finish third in the division. And the only reason you don't finish last is because the Giants are so god-awful. It's hard to be crappier than the Giants. So I don't know how you can be happy about the job he's doing. Even with Dak Prescott, this team, I think, was what, 3-5 when he got hurt? Or, you know, something like that. So this team was still crap when Dak was starting. So you really weren't going to go anywhere anyway, no matter who the quarterback was. So quarterback play really doesn't make a difference here. You know, it probably wins you a couple games, but then you're fighting Washington for the wild card. You still wouldn't win a division. So I don't get what he's proud about. It's just a senile old man just trying to save face at this point any way he can. It was the same thing with Jason Garrett. He hung on to Jason Garrett for too long, too. Jason Garrett should not have been there as long as he was either, but he hung on to Jason Garrett because him and Jason Garrett were best buddies.
Isn't he his son-in-law?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yes.
Jesus. Which makes it even worse.
I think he married Jason Garrett, either married his daughter or Jerry's niece or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
All I know is that you don't mix business up with relationships. So
that, then, business, you know, with pleasure.
Yeah, with Mike McCarthy, business with pleasure.
There you go.
The hot tub thing is,
I mean,
too,
yeah,
good. The hot tub thing is too good. That's one of the best.
You can't live it down. Like, that's awful. But like,
he's chilling in the hot tub with a cigar and going, "Yeah, you're my head coach." Yeah. It's like, okay.
Like, I just don't get it with him. But I mean, I don't know what there really is to be happy about. And then on the Broncos Chargers thing, I mean, yeah, Will and I did talk about it when that game was on. We were like, damn, the Broncos really should have won. But they did nothing the entire second half. They basically said, all right, at halftime, we got the lead. That's good enough for us. And they've done it a bunch of times this year where they've gotten the lead at half. I mean, they did it against the damn Chiefs. They got a lead at half and then scored nothing. And it's like, everybody's like, oh, well, they scored, so, you know, not everybody, but I'm saying, like, people will say, oh, you know, they scored 6 points in the second half, so it wasn't nothing like it was, you know, like the Chiefs shut them out the entire second half, and they blocked that last field goal to win. But, you know, you were up, they were up for a good majority of this game.
Particularly in the first half, and then when that free kick happened,
Yeah, it feels like that was just the beginning of the end. And then it just, I don't get.
Yo, went downhill.
And the worst part is with the Broncos every week, and I don't know why. The play calling, I mean, it's not great, but the play calling is fine in the first half. In the second half, they seem to just shut it down whenever they have. Like, it's like they get the lead and they just shut it down in the second half. Like, what are you shutting it down for? Game's not over yet. So I don't get the philosophy from Sean Payton in just, you know, you don't let Bo Nix loose. You know, you continue to give him, you know, only, like, everybody's like, oh, Bo Nix can't throw more than 5 yards. I've seen that narrative, and that's just false.
No, but I think that's stupid. I think that is one of the most stupid narratives in the entire league this year.
Yeah, I'm like, then you don't watch Broncos games if you think that Bo Nix can't throw more than 5 yards. That's ridiculous. He's not Daniel Jones, bro. Stop the crap.
Purdy's an MVP.
Yeah. That was me. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was me. Yeah. The pretty thing was me, and I was wrong. I apologize.
No, I'm being honest.
That was me, and that was bad. I apologize.
No, yeah. And it's fine. Like, you know, I get that. It's just, you know, because I get where that's coming from, but it's like, I don't like when it's like, Bo Nix is not the problem in Denver. Sean Payton's play calling is probably the biggest problem they have, because they should have two or three more
second
wins.
Second half play calling.
Second half play calling. It's like, I don't get which, it's like, it's so weird. The Broncos are one of the few teams where it's like every game, it's like we talk about how good they look in the first half, and we're like, oh man, the Broncos are really going to have a great game today. And the second half, it's like the complete opposite. They just shut everything down. I don't see how a team does so well in the first half and then seemingly every week just shuts down in the second half. I don't. The teams that are playing them are not making adjustments, but you can see the play calling is just different in the second half. And I don't know why. I just don't know why. It shouldn't change. Whatever's working shouldn't change until the other team can prove they can stop it. Then you make the adjustments. It's one reason why we talk about Kyle Shanahan being so crap at making adjustments, because he does the same thing. But the thing is, he doesn't shut down. He just runs the same plays.
Oh my God, that reminds me. Brandon, you have something. You have a very important assignment due next Sunday on the show. You're unveiling your Eberflus head coach list.
Yeah. Sean Payton's like not gonna get fired, but he's gonna end up on there.
The Nick Sirianni in there too.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? Sirianni wasn't the reason they lost today. The thing is, Sirianni gets out of his own way, the Eagles can score 30 plus on anybody. It's just the fact, or even 40.
That's character development right there.
He's actually realizing, hey, I might actually be stupid. Let me let Kellen Moore run the offense. because my God, Kellen Moore could not have gotten more out of Kenny Pickett if he tried. That's the most you're gonna get out of Kenny Pickett, and you still almost won that game. You were Devontae Smith drop away from winning it. So really it would have been crazy had Kellen Moore pulled that off of Kenny Pickett. Because like one more thing I say about Kenny Pickett. When I texted you guys during the game, I told you guys this. I've never seen a slower release in football history, and I've never seen a slower handoff in football history than Kenny Pickett.
And you know what my response was? That's exactly why Mike Tomlin got rid of him. That was the one reason. He hated that about him. It annoyed him to death.
I don't understand how he sees a receiver down the field and it takes him 6 seconds to load up and throw. It's not 6 seconds, but like he literally, by the time he sees a receiver,
might as well be.
By the time he sees a receiver, decides to throw, and then loads up, it's literally like 5 seconds on the game clock gone by, and then that's why he got strip sacked like twice today. Okay, like, why is the release 10 years long? Why am I waiting 5 seconds of game time for you to throw the ball when you see an open receiver? That's why, too, a lot of times today, he had open receivers. He just didn't hit them on the break because the throw was always late. The throw was late every single time. I'm like, yeah, you're lucky that Devontae Smith was even had a decent game up to that point, up until the drop, and A.J. Brown had a good game. You're lucky because you threw the ball so damn late, you could have gotten them killed multiple times. So it's, you know, I don't, you know, your backup isn't going to be great. But my God, with that talent, I could throw the ball to Devontae Smith off his break a lot quicker than that. That's inexcusable. But yeah, going back to the coaching stuff, yeah, Sean Payton to me is going to end up on the Eberflus list. And then you know what's funny is like the Chargers did a good job coming back in that game. But that's a weird thing about the Chargers too. The Chargers always feel like they're not even a second half team because they don't play well in the fourth quarter. They're more of just a third quarter football team. They do a lot of their damage in the third quarter, it feels like, every week. And I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I'm wrong about that, but a lot of their damage seems to just come in like the first two quarters. It feels like they're kind of just hanging around a little bit. They're down by a score, or down by maybe 10 points, or really 10 points less, I should say. And then like in the third quarter, they just seem to just explode every week, and they'll score like 14 to 17 in the third quarter. All of a sudden, they'll have like a 1 point lead, and all of a sudden, the fourth quarter will be back and forth. And either they charge it. Either they charge it and they blow it, or they barely win it. So it just feels like they do a lot of their damage in the third in games, and then it's just like they just, for the other three quarters, they kind of just meander around. So it's it's weird because they're another team that I look at kind of like similar, not similar. I was going to say similar to the Rams, not similar. They're not similar to the Rams, but they're definitely a team that I look at and I kind of go, I'm like, you know, this is a team that won four straight at one point this season. I mean, that's hard to do in this league to get any kind of winning streak. Anything, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, more than that is impressive. It's hard to do. Good team should do it, but for a team like the Chargers, that just doesn't happen. It's just, you know, I look at them and I mean, you know, what do they got? They got 10 wins, 9 wins.
Nine,
yeah.
And
they'll probably have 10 by the end.
Yeah, and I look at the Chargers and I'm like, that's a big improvement for where they were, but it just feels like even a 10-win Charger team, they still feel, and we said it for multiple weeks now, just like they just feel like they're just going to Charger every week. They're just going to end up blowing a game in the fourth. You know, they're going to end up, or just they're just going to end up in a slugfest in the fourth, and it's like it's just ugly football. Like it's a lot of drop passes. It's a lot of just weird defense. You know, Justin Herbert has to become God to win football games.
I have some sad news for you as you're going through this. You know what the opening game opening game on Saturday is on NFL Network?
What?
It's Chargers Patriots in New England.
Oh.
Oh my God, Roger Goodell, you hate us so much, man.
Like, I wish I God. I really think God hates us. I really do.
Roger Goodell hates us, man. Roger Goodell hates us.
I mean, what Roger Goodell says is gospel, so basically he is God.
Chargers, Patriots, yeah. Broncos, Bengals, and Cardinals, Rams.
Well, no, Broncos Bengals might not be bad. Like the Bengals record sucks, but the Bengals offensively
might actually beat the Broncos. Like, if you're a Broncos fan, you're scared.
I hope they do.
That's a decent game. Like, you look at you can't look at the Bengals record. The Bengals are better than what their record is. Yeah. Like, it's just the fact that they don't have their defense is okay. The last couple of games they kind of been all right, but overall their defense is just horrific. Yeah. But their offense can hang 40 at a moment's notice on anybody. Doesn't matter who it is. So that should still be a decent game, regardless of record. So that could be okay. What was the last one you said, Rob?
And then Cardinals Rams, which we talked about earlier. That's going to be big for NFC West implications.
Yeah, that's big for NFC West. But the Cardinals suck now.
Yeah,
they suck. Including the Rams. They both suck.
Yeah, it was fun watching the Cardinals lead the division for like 2 or 3 weeks and then just choke it.
Yeah.
That was fun. Well, not for you Seattle guys, but that was just fun in general to watch the Cardinals actually have a lead. The Cardinals weren't going to stay there.
Man, we already know they choked, man. Kyle Murray wants to play COD. That's what he wants to do.
Kyle wants to play Call of Duty. Okay, Shane, finish this up with Thursday night Broncos Chargers.
Yeah, you know, the thing about the Broncos is, I think, you know, when you look at Sean Payton and just in general throughout his career, we know that he's kind of cocky. And, you know, as John Middlecoff says, he thinks he invented football. You know, so so I think, you know, and we know that he has, you know, he makes very good game plans, game scripts going into it. So obviously he's going to do well in the first half. The problem is, I think since he is a little cocky, he's got this big lead and he's like, oh, I can just coast the rest of the game, and then has to kind of play catch up. And, you know, well, you know, then everybody has pressure on them and, you know, there you go. So yeah, that's kind of how it reads for me. That's definitely something that, you know, something to work on for them. The thing about the Broncos though is, like, you guys know how many games they were predicted to win before the season started?
The Broncos? Like four? I think the Broncos. Had like four or five, I think.
I was going to say like six.
Yeah.
Yeah, the money line was 5.5.
Oh, Jesus.
Close.
And they're probably going to double it. So no matter how you slice it, I mean, rookie quarterback, good but old offensive line, very limited weapons. You know, all things considered, I think this season was a huge success for this franchise. You know, I mean, hell, it was their first winning season since they won the Super Bowl back in, what was it, 2016, 15? So, you know, I mean, that's
2016, yeah.
16, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big accomplishment. Like, just to not only to have a winning season, but to probably end up in the playoffs. I mean, I'd be surprised if they missed at this point, but, yeah, and like Will said, knowing that you got your future guy is, I mean, that's huge. They've been trying to find that guy ever since Peyton retired between Paxton Lynch, yikes.
Teddy Bridgewater, Russell
Bridgewater, Flacco for a minute.
Whoa, pause. State champion Teddy Bridgewater, by the way.
Yeah, Teddy.
Trevor Simeon.
Oh my god.
And then of course Russell, we all know that.
Brock Osweiler.
Oh my god, I forgot bad that quarterback. The crazy thing is, the year they even won the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning was trash.
He was awful.
So
Brock Osweiler.
Oh my god.
After Osweiler won those few games, he got like some 3-year, $72 million contract from Houston.
By the way, you know what's funny? Brock Osweiler is such a good college football commentator now for ESPN. He's really damn good.
You know why? It seems to be a lot of the bad players that make good commentators. Because they're the perfect examples of what not to do on a football field.
Not Tom Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn, trash. Mark Sanchez, trash.
Dan Orlovsky.
Dan Orlovsky is still bad. He's never been good at anything he's done.
He's bad.
Orlovsky got caught in the ESPN trap of like, I remember when Orlovsky first became a commentator, I actually kind of liked him. And I was like, oh wow, he's actually kind of making sense. And now all of a sudden he's just become another puppet for ESPN. Like, that guy makes no sense talking about football whatsoever. I'm like, bro, you don't watch the same games.
And,
like, you just don't.
And this is why we don't work for ESPN. So we can talk about this like this. Thank you.
Yeah, like all the other players, like former players that are trash, that are good commentators, why can't we find actual good former players that want to be commentators or analysts? Like, why are all the analysts, or at least 90% of them, trash football players?
The only two that I think genuinely have, or no,
Greg Olson,
and I was gonna say Troy, because Troy obviously is a Hall of Famer, but yeah, Olson.
Oh yeah, true.
Greg Olson has slowly slipped down my announcing board this year because he hasn't made sense in a lot of his games. He's made zero sense.
Tony Romo's all right.
Tony Romo, but I wouldn't say his career is necessarily a success. Will,
I mean, he wasn't bad, but. He's kind of like Dak, just, you know.
Honestly, he's better than Jonathan Velma.
Yeah.
Oh, Jonathan Velma doesn't know what game he's commentating.
Yeah, I know.
Jonathan Velma. Like, but today, Greg Olson, like, not just for Eagles games, because Greg Olson's usually pretty good, but Greg Olson, I've caught him in other games besides today, and I'm like, Greg, are we watching the same game, bro? What game are you commentating on? I'm like, what are you talking about?
By the way, Tom Brady basically just said nothing on Saturday, and it was really funny.
Oh, yeah.
He's just trying to sound good.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of nothing. Like, he, at one point, I even caught him because he did his best Tony Romo impression. I don't know, Jim. I was like, yeah, I like a couple times.
Either. I do know. Okay.
I still can't get over that he called Jake Elliott David Akers. I was like, David Akers, damn.
I can't, man. That blows my mind. Tom, this is not 2006, bro. Can we not?
The fact is, they have to keep him under commentary because they're paying him so much money. But he should.
Tom Brady, whenever he spoke, like I think Romo like would speak in like post game things and things like that. Like, I just don't understand how you look at like Tom Brady whenever he spoke in post games or whenever he spoke in. Like pressers or on the field, Tom Brady never would have made sense as a commentator.
And
never.
And Fox was like, "Oh, it's Tom Brady. Let's have him do the Super Bowl this year. He is doing the Super Bowl.
He's
the
Super Bowl.
He's doing the Super Bowl this year.
I knew
Fox
it.
Has it. Oh my god. Okay, wait. We need to make a quick amendment to the pod outline because this just happened in our chat, and I can't stop laughing. Will with the best. Why do you keep saying null? Instagram fixed your damn app.
I thought you guys keep saying no. I thought it was like a thing. I was thinking about doing no, saying no myself. I'm like, no.
Well, no. At first, I thought it was just because when you send anything from outside Instagram, like if it's a YouTube thing or whatever,
this is, by the way, just for the audience, this is on the Instagram DM feature, like, because that's where our group chat is. That's what's happening is outside sources. But continue.
Yeah, so like when you have, I thought at first when because you were the first one that was sending a bunch of stuff from like YouTube and like things you would see on like just mostly on YouTube, but like on other, because I was sending Twitter stuff, and I'm like, huh. I like, but at first you were the one sending them, and I was like, why does he keep saying no at the end of everything? I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I thought you got the robots or something. Like, what the?
Like, I had the same thought. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, why did you keep saying that? But I didn't say it out loud. But I was like, I figured out over time that every time you post something from an outside source, whether it's Twitter, YouTube, whatever it is, for some reason that Instagram is broken. So when you try to DM it to somebody, it follows it up with no. I don't know why.
So do you know what null means, right? In terms of like AI or texting? Do you know like what's the significance?
I know the term like null and void.
No,
but
yeah,
I don't
know. That's basically the point. So basically what Instagram thinks is that it's just sending nothing. So
yeah, like it's invalid. It, yeah,
yeah, it's, yeah. Just, it's saying it's invalid. I'm like, bro, what the hell?
No,
I had multiple people message me this week because I'm sending them YouTube videos. Go, why do you keep saying no? I'm like, I'm not. It's broken.
So yeah, you're not the so Will's not the first person to tell you that. That's great.
I thought I was going crazy for a minute.
I'm not kidding. There was a period when this was first. I sent you guys like maybe a few YouTube videos in a row, and it was just YouTube video null, YouTube video null. No, I was like, what the hell is going on?
I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, what's going on, man? A guy have an aneurysm or something? Like, what the heck? the branding got broken by the Eagles losing again. Like,
yeah. No, next week, if I have to watch Kenny Pickett play against the Cowboys, I'm literally gonna send you a video of me tweaking out in my room, in the corner of my room,
and then at the bottom it's gonna say no. That will be it.
No.
Instagram, fix your app.
No,
we won't. No. No. Oh my god. That's gonna be a tagline this episode. Just null. It's the episode.
No.
There you go.
Oh Jesus. Do you guys mind if we save the Saturday games for tomorrow just so we can preview the Christmas Day games? because it's the same exact flipping teams.
Okay.
And then and then same with the Falcons, because I want to do like a full Michael Penix thing, but I want to save it for next week because we're going to get to see four quarters of him on Sunday Night Football, so we'll really get to make an opinion on that. All right, let's do college football playoff. Shane, your thoughts on a horrible playoff weekend?
Yeah. Who would have seen that coming? Yeah, I mean, this is why, and I know I'm in the minority on this, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyways. This is why I felt a team like Miami or Alabama should have been in over, you know, SMU.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least those two teams, they might not have beat Penn State, but it at least would have been a game. Like, you put SMU, I mean, before this, like, nobody outside of huge sports fans had ever even heard of SMU. You know, it's like, what do you think's going to happen when you put them against the number six team in the country? Yeah, it's going to be a blowout. Gee, crazy thought, I know. But yeah, you know, I picked Indiana to beat Notre Dame. I have no idea why.
I picked Tennessee to beat Ohio State because I really thought there was a chance for an upset, and I kind of forgot about it after I did it. But
well, yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, I thought Ohio State would win, but I thought it'd be a lot closer than that.
Game was over in the first quarter.
Right. Yeah. No. Exactly. And then Clemson, Texas. I mean, that was, you know, chaotic as predicted. You know, the second round. I mean, I don't know. I think I definitely like this new format of 12 teams, but it is kind of like, okay. I mean, we can do a little bit better job of selecting. I mean, for instance, you know, like Penn State blowing out SMU, you know, now they're playing a Mountain West team, and I get it. It's Boise State. They're great, whatever, but like they're Mountain West. I think they're going to get killed. I'm sorry.
I have Boise State in the national championship. I'm sorry. I do.
You are crazy.
Oh my God.
Yep. I think Austin Gentry is that good that they're going to get to the national championship and lose to Oregon.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, he's good, but it's Mountain West. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah.
I'm happy to be wrong. We don't cover college football for a reason. I'm not good at this stuff.
I mean, to me, it feels hard. Like, I mean, I know that they're ranked three, but to me, it feels like, you know, Boise State versus Penn State. To me, this feels like you know, what's it called? A UFL team versus like Philly. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Guys.
Wait. You mean how every NFL team views the Carolina Panthers? Yeah.
No. Worse.
Jesus.
What's the team that won last year? AJ McCarron's team, St. Louis or whatever. To me, this feels like Philadelphia Eagles versus the St. Louis Battlehawks. Like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. And
we'll lose that game.
And Oregon, Ohio State.
Wait. Are you serious? You're saying Nick Sirianni would mess it up against the Battlehawks? Damn.
No. Not Nick Sirianni. Kenny Pickett.
Oh, geez.
Kenny Pickett will still lose that game. If it's a healthy Jalen Hurts, I get it.
All right, true.
Continue, Shane. Continue.
Oregon, Ohio State. I mean, that was a pretty close game last time they played. You know, we'll see this time. I think Oregon wins, but
they got home, not home field, but the Rose Bowl is basically home field. So
yeah, I mean, West Coast, same time zone, all that. Yeah. It's going to be a lot more green than it is red. Let's put it that way. It's, you know, and that's, I mean, that's a classic Rose Bowl matchup, Oregon, Ohio State. I think we've had that a few times. Ohio State usually wins it, but, you know, things, hey, you never know how things work out. You know, this is a different year than those years. And Arizona State versus Texas. That's one I could see going either way. I mean, I think I like Texas a little more just because, you know, the SEC experience, whereas Arizona playing in the Big 12, I'm like, you know. I just feel like they're a little more well-rounded. I don't love Texas secondary though, so that's something to consider. But, you know, really, I mean, Arizona State's biggest threat is in the run game on offense, so I'm not too worried about that. I feel like Texas should be able to handle that. And then Georgia Notre Dame, I mean, you know, it looks like Carson Beck might be out, but he's a bum anyways, so who cares? You know, I mean, that team is just so stacked. I don't think it will really matter that much. In the semifinals, yeah, give me Oregon versus Texas and Georgia versus Penn State, and then we'll go from there.
Will, what are your thoughts on the CFP so far?
So far, I think it's a, I thought it was a pretty, it's pretty, I just thought some of these games are somewhat predictable outside of the Tennessee-Ohio State game. Honestly, it's been, to me, I think the format has been, it's pretty good, but it still has some flaws as well because we expanded because we think more teams could have a chance and make it more interesting, and so far it could. But the system still flawed a bit. I agree. I did think Miami and Alabama could have got in, but honestly, they have the same record. But, you know, Miami and Alabama did lose to teams that are not ranked. I know some of the teams that are already in the college football players did too. And I don't know, I just feel like with these games moving forward, especially for the playoffs as well, and how the bracket should do it, they should at least evaluate it at least further and make more sense as far as who should be in it. And I think that there has been at least usually there's been some games that I feel like, you know, that I feel like it could have gone some way, but honestly, overall, it was just a complete blowout. And I think out of all the playoffs moving forward, the games, I think I'm more interested in Oregon and Ohio State, and I think that's going to be a pretty good game. But I think college football playoffs, I think it's pretty good, just pretty boring with some of the games as well. So I just hope moving forward that when we do the selections, that I hope the committee do them right at least, and we have a bit more better at it. But at the same time, the teams moving forward, they also got to get better as well and be better and beat these teams they should beat. So honestly, it's basically everyone part to make it better for the next one. But I think overall, it's a nice start, but there's a lot of stuff they can at least adjust and make better for college football 12-team bracket playoffs moving forward.
Brandon, your thoughts? I mean, you brought up in our chat, and this is something we talked about earlier, right before the playoffs started or right at the end of the season. This is a lot of the schedule makers' fault too. The coaches and athletic directors, you know, making these schedules because these teams are simply not competitive with the top of the heap.
Yeah, you can't. We always say it every, like, we are all for an expanded playoff. We always wanted that. But the problem is, you can't. I don't care. We always say your record doesn't tell you what your team really is. And, you know, in a lot of cases it does, but a lot of cases it doesn't. And this, like, with the CFP being what it is, like, SMU was not the football, it's not the football team their record says they were. I mean, that team had no defense the entire season. Yeah, I mean, they were winning games, sure, but, like, you know, this is a team that was struggling to beat teams like Duke, like Boston College, Louisville. Like, you know, you get up 42 to TCU. Like, you know, BYU beat them. BYU's not even in the college football playoff. Like, these were games that, I mean, hell, even Nevada took them, you know, down to the wire a little bit. So SMU was never as good as their record says they were. And when you're in the, and, like, how many times do we have to say this about the ACC? Because people don't seem to understand. Like, when it came to, when Cincinnati had made it, like, years ago, and Cincinnati, to me, like, I like the way they play. But when Cincinnati had made it years ago, we kept saying all the time, like, yeah, there's the null from Will.
But it's capitalized. Did you do this intentionally, Will?
Yeah, I was just trolling.
Yeah, because it's a capital. That was good. That was really good.
But, you know, when Cincinnati was in it, we kept saying, like, you know, when there was four teams, like, oh, like, I really thought Cincinnati should have been in it because I don't think anybody else should have been. Like, because no one else was as good as what Cincinnati had played like this that year, and that was different. It's four teams. I just feel like Cincinnati did deserve a good shot to be in. But when you have 12 teams, like, the ACC, I mean, I get it. I get why Miami wasn't in, because their conference record, they had two losses. So it was worse than Clemson. It was worse than SMU. So the conference records would kept them out. But, I mean, like, like, you can't compare, like, the Big Ten and the SEC are really the only two conferences that matter in college football. Everybody else pretty much just sucks. Everybody else is just not good. Like, I know they keep saying, like, oh, Power Five and, you know, all these different conferences. I'm like, no, there's no five. There's only two conferences that matter. It's the Big Ten and the SEC. And it's been that way for years. Like, especially because the Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore. The Pac-12 always got blown out by teams of that caliber.
And that was part of why they moved.
Like, like the Big 12 is a joke. The ACC is not real. I don't get how people can keep saying, oh, there was a big, you know, there was a Power Five, because, well, Power Five is gone because the Pac-12 doesn't exist. So it will eventually. They're gonna fill that conference back up with all the teams kind of moving over there. But it's you know, like, now you have a Power Four, and there's, like I said, there's only two conferences that matter. It's the SEC and the Big Ten, and honestly, that's gonna end up being probably your college football championship. It's gonna be probably between a Big Ten school and an SEC school, and it's just like. That's not good for the game when there's only two conferences dominating in college football. You want to see, you know, like, an AAC team have a good season. Like, you know, like the military schools, they had good seasons this year. But
yeah, the American they was kind of fun this year. The American was kind of fun this year, if you were paying attention. Yeah.
Yeah, they were fun, but they weren't going to be a team that was going to beat a Big 12 school, you know, or like even a MAC. School at that point. I mean, they could, but not likely. It's just the college football playoff bothers me when you have teams that just didn't have a hard enough schedule. So it's like their record says, oh yeah, they're 11-2 or they're 12-1, whatever the record is. And it's like, oh, they should get in over this team because their record's better. It's like, well, it's part of it, but you gotta look at who they played matters. And the thing is, the problem is a lot of teams that made the top 12 didn't play anybody. A lot of teams that made the top 12. Like, there's only maybe two teams in the top 12 that I can probably think of that actually played games against decent teams all season. Yeah. And that was Oregon. Yeah. And, and probably Ohio State.
Probably
like, against each other, ironically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and then yeah. Like, that to me, like if I could have it my way, can we just simulate to the CFP, the national championships, have those two teams play? Because
we're getting it on New Year's Day now, so that's gonna be interesting. We're getting it early. Yeah.
Like yeah. that's gonna be a lot of fun. Like that's the game I circled even back when we beat them. You know, Will Howard, you know, I accidentally did Dak Prescott, I didn't know how much time was left and ran the clock out. Like that, you know, we walk away with a win barely, but it was still a win. It was like that's a game I circled since that point. I'm like, I guarantee we play Ohio State at some point again, and sure enough, here we are. So
yeah,
it's gonna be fun, but I just the way the CFP is structured is still not quite right, and that's a problem. That's what we saw this weekend.
For my part on the playoff, I was mentioning, so I was very intrigued by the sub licensing, right? How TNT got two of the games. And I thought, oh, this is a great idea for TNT, right? They pay a fair amount of money. They get a couple of these games. I mean, yes, an NFL window, but it helps ESPN a lot because they can put a lot more on their networks. And Drew Letter of Awful Announcing posted an article, actually, I think during that day that I found yesterday, and I was like, oh God, this deal was bad for TNT. And I'll explain. I wanted to highlight Drew Letter because he wrote it. I'm going to quote a lot of things he said in this article about renting sporting events versus actually owning them. He goes through a lot of different examples, like some ACC games to the CW, Fox obviously owning a majority of the Big Ten. We're not going to get to those. We're going to focus on the TNT piece. Are you guys ready for how bizarrely bad this ended up being for TNT?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So why would the first thing is, why would ESPN license it? According to a July report in the Sports Business Journal, ESPN originally had no intention of sub-licensing any of its college football playoff inventory. Call it inventory because it's a product. So sub-licensing any of the games. That is until TNT made them an offer they couldn't refuse. And a bout of desperation from TNT, after it became clear they would lose the broadcast rights to the NBA, the network offered a nine-figure deal, nine figures, to ESPN for a small package of the games, of the CFP games. The deal was too good for ESPN to pass up. TNT is doing the first round games, and it's starting in 2026. They will also air two of the quarterfinal games in addition to the pair of the first round games. So in 2026, the deal gets expanded a little bit. So the payout isn't only a great deal for ESPN, the network, this is key. These two things are the key points. The network also gets to pick which games it gives to TNT. Guess what games they gave to TNT this year? The 12 seed Clemson and the 11 seed SMU. They gave them the worst games. They gave them the 12 seed game and the 11 seed game. In other words, ESPN can keep their best games for themselves and sell TNT the scraps at a premium. And on top of that, TNT, their broadcasting window was during the NFL matchups, which were much more interesting. So this was a nine-figure deal, right? Here's the crazy part. ESPN also gets to keep the entire amount of advertising revenue TNT generates from the games. So they get to pick the games. Wow. They get to pick the games, which are the worst ones. ESPN does. They get to, not only is this an advantage for ESPN because they get to use the TNT studio crew to have another crew, which was Adam Lefko, Victor Cruz, all those guys. TNT, both of their games were 11 seed SMU, 12 seed Clemson. Bad games, right? 11 and 12 seed games. And it was during the NFL window. And they get to keep the premium of the ad revenue. And TNT paid nine figures for it. Great job, Turner. Great job. So what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Not surprising.
No, it's not. It really isn't.
I mean, Shane, you know all the mess that's going on in Warner Bros. Desperation moves aren't a surprise for them.
I mean, they're doing fine though financially. It's just, you know, they just suck. I mean, when look, they Warner Brothers is a company of this tells you how messed up they are. Warner Brothers has 6,000 employees, okay? You know how many of those employees are lawyers? 900.
Yeah, I think you said that before. Jesus.
Of their six, that's almost 20%. Meanwhile, let's say Walmart, okay, they have 200,000 employees, way more than the 6,000. You know how many lawyers they have? 200.
And by the way, you know why this is? Yeah, I know. I know you mentioned this before, but you know why this is important for their sports properties in particular with TNT, because they have no one to think logically about what they put on the damn network for sports. Their deals are true. Literally the CFP, the Mountain West, and they get a few Big 12 games next year. Does anyone care about any of that? And I mean, NHL is great, but like, does anyone care about any of that minus the NHL and the CFP?
No.
What the hell are they doing? So yeah, so when I thought, oh, this is a genius deal. TNT paid, you know, a little bit of money, and ESPN gets more programming. No, it's not. They paid nine figures for two of the worst games on the slate during an NFL broadcast, and they didn't even get to keep the ad revenue. So they didn't even make any money on the damn broadcast because probably no one was watching it. Great job, Warner Bros. Discovery. Great job, Turner. So, Jesus. So that's how we'll finish up today. We'll do a Christmas special tomorrow. Talk about the Christmas games. Recap Saints-Packers for however bad that mess is going to be. And do National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation for Will, for Brandon, for Shane, and for myself. We will see you guys back on Monday. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday and early Monday morning. We'll see you back here tomorrow night.
See ya. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Take care, everybody. Yep.